Lane bench. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Happy Independence Day. For those of you listening south of the border, it is Thursday, July 4th, and we're underway on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property's secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hello, Wes. How are we doing?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Happy Stampede 2024. It feels stampedy downtown town.
Yeah.
First Friday's around the corner. Let's go.
Where do people go to party with Pat?
We don't have to. You can come to the Wild Horse. I'm hosting at the downtown tent, Wild Horse. We don't have to push that obnoxiously.
I just want you to have some company. We all know I go to bed at about 9:30, so yeah. I'm not going to be much help.
Will you get out once for Stampede or no?
Yeah, chuck wagons for sure.
Okay.
Once.
Like Kenny Weeb went all night and still made a 6 a.m. drive to...
Yeah, Kenny and I golfed at Grey Wolf the next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And you know what? He did not shut up the whole drive. That's Kenny Weeb for you.
Yeah. Didn't need to sleep. He was good to go.
No.
Look, we know the Flames have been a very busy group in free agency. We know that they were, just in terms of overall volume of signings, they were one of the busier teams on Monday on Canada Day when free agency opened. And we also know they all signed short-term deals. And I think every single one of their UFA signings comes in on the low-risk, potentially high-reward side of things. I don't think there was one of those deals that you can look at and say, well, there's a ton of risk there. What are they doing? And they've all got some sort of upside to them. And if the upside doesn't hit, oh, well, mm-hmm. you move on. What, 3 2-year deals and 1 1-year deal. And the one that I am maybe most interested in is the 1-year deal. And that was the first signing that was announced and that broke on Monday. And that was Anthony Mantha, who signed a 1-year deal at $3.5 million with the Flames, coming off a year split between Washington and the Vegas Golden Knights. And it feels like the Flames are getting a guy that feels himself like he's got a lot to prove.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll play you this clip. This is a guy who had 20-plus goals last year, who is still not 30 years old, although he'll be 30 to start the season, and yet was getting only short-term offers
and
in
not
unrestricted free agency.
And not very many of them.
And not a ton of them.
Yeah.
This was Anthony when he joined us on Monday. I don't know. I think that there might be another feeling like, hey, I've got something to prove here as I join the Flames.
For me, they were all one-year contracts. So for me, it was kind of a prove-it deal this year. With having a better season last year than I did the year before that. So I kind of decided where to go with maybe the opportunity that they were talking about and kind of offering me in a sense. And Calgary looked to be the perfect fit for that. And
Anthony, when you talk about it being a lot of prove-it deals that were on the table for you, how does, from a mindset perspective, how motivating is that coming into a season? It's like, okay, you in your mind, you feel like you do have to prove something a little bit. I guess, what does that do to a player's motivation coming into a season?
I mean, it's huge. Obviously, last year for me personally, even without it being a prove-it deal on the contract, it was, you know, I had one off season the year before, and I wanted to come back and show everyone and myself that I'm still able to play some good hockey in this league. And I think that's exactly what I did. And that's also why Vegas tried to pick me up at the deadline. And then here I am again for another year of a prove-it deal. And I think I just need to kind of take a step even further from last year and play even better and be more productive and be sharp defensively too.
So I think when you're talking about a guy who felt like he had a bounce back season last year and still only got 1 year deals, and as you said, not a lot of them, there's a chance, and you never know how this stuff plays out, but there's a chance that that ends up being a real powerful motivator. He knows he's going to get opportunity here. He knows he's going to get playing time with the Flames, and at almost the age of 30 years old, he knows he needs to show a lot this season. And I just feel like there's the potential anyway that this guy could be a real asset for the team. And, yeah. And by that, I mean, maybe he clicks with Jonathan Huberdeau, which I know is one of the things the Flames are looking at when signing him. And if that happens, good. And maybe if it ends up being a rousing success, you think about re-signing the guy. Or maybe he has himself another 20-25 goal season. He's on pace to get you in the 50-point range. Well, you know what? Come March, I believe the trade deadline, March 7th this coming season, all of a sudden you got teams that say, hey, this guy who can add secondary offense, this big body who's having another nice season, maybe it's another team like Vegas who acquired Mantha at this year's trade deadline. I think on a one-year deal with the mindset that you've got a lot to prove, I think there's something real powerful about that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, this is a guy who has had some success in his NHL career. And the part of the interview, and we had a great chat, UI and Anthony on the show on Monday. But, you know, the one thing about our conversation with him that really struck me, and I mentioned this to you off air, was when he said, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but he said, there's been some questions throughout my career about my consistency. And I want to show that that's not the case. And that's a real, I think, powerful motivator as well. Like you didn't get any, correct me if you think I'm off on this, buddy. Like there didn't seem to be any sourness to Anthony Mantha. He's excited about coming to Calgary, but I think a little bit hurt by the lack of interest, right? He mentioned that he had one or two other teams offering him one-year deals. And for a guy who has kind of consistently throughout his career scored 20 goals, a guy who was sought after enough at the deadline to fetch two draft picks, you know, for a guy with his, I suppose, career credentials, and on top of that, an imposing presence at 6'5" and 230 something, like, I think he was a little bit hurt that there weren't more teams that thought he could help them right away. And, you know, that's the kind of guy you bet on, right? Yeah. That's the kind of guy who's going to come in and try and make a statement.
Yeah, I don't really see a ton of downside, especially because it's a one-year deal.
Yeah, the only... Sorry to interrupt.
And I know where you're going with the potential downside.
Yeah.
I want to play this clip first from Craig Conroy.
Okay, please do.
And then we'll hit that, because there is the one potential downside that people keep bringing up, and we will get to that. I don't know if I see it as downside, but we'll see. Here's Craig Conroy. This is the GM, what he had to say about Mantha on Monday.
First, he's got an unbelievable shot. High-skilled, big man. You know, I think put in the right situation, we believe he's going to, you know, be a threat every night. He's going to help us when we're having trouble scoring at times. He's going to be a guy with that high end skill that can come in and, you know, win games for us. So that was the one. And you know what? He is motivated. He wants to show everybody I'm back. And I think that's a great thing for us. He's excited to be coming to Calgary, and then we're excited to have him.
So I think that the fact my maybe the most, and I feel kind of bad because, you know, Mantha's excited for the opportunity. He's going to get playing time. He's likely going to be in their top six or top nine, depending on how you look at it. Likely going to be playing at least to start on a line with Jonathan Huberdeau. But I'm really interested in his worth at the trade deadline and what you could... You signed him for free on a one-year deal. He knows what's going on. He knows that he's trying to, you know, continue to rehab the image around the league.
Yeah.
And he's probably looking at this as like, hey, maybe I can get a 2 or a 4 year deal next year in unrestricted free agency. Well, you, for him, go out, be on pace for 25 goals. You're going to help yourself in that respect. And if you're the Flames, a signing for free that you can turn into a second round pick, or you can turn into a couple of picks or something like that, that's maybe the thing that interests me the most, and that feels a little bit like I'm just treating Mantha like a commodity. But on a 1 year deal for a guy who turns 30 in September, I think that's fair. Vegas gave up a second and a fourth round pick for him at this year's trade deadline.
Yeah, and I just wanted to call it up so I didn't have it wrong, but that was with an AAV of $5.7 million. And so that deal, a second and a fourth, included 50% salary retention. Now, as an acquiring team, you're talking about a guy who, whether the Flames retain or not, is going to come in with even less of a cap charge. And that, I think, just makes him more appealing, right? By March 7th, that's a guy at $3.5 million who at the trade deadline is into, you know, he's into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's not costing you over $1 million for the remainder of the season on your cap. And if a team can add a guy who can potentially help on their power play, who is, you know, you hope if you're the Flames having a little bit of a, not even a bounce back, because his down year was 2 years ago, but yeah. if he's continuing to show that you can count on him for 20 and he's not going to cost you a whole lot, I think that's the sort of guy who becomes a bit of a no-brainer to target in a more under-the-radar deadline move. And that's of all, like, the Flames have not made a least bit risky investment in any of their free agents. As you said, like, there's nothing high risk about what Craig Conroy did on Canada Day. This one, though, to me, because of the potential to turn around and flip him at the deadline, has the lowest risk of all.
Yep. The one downside that people have pointed to is the downside of, does it clog up the forward depth chart for a younger player like Jacob Pelche, younger player like Matt Coronato, younger player like Sam Honzek? Does this do damage to what they might be able to do in the NHL? And I get it on the surface. You're like, well, where is, and I've had a couple of conversations with people in hockey about this. Like, well, where is Matt Coronato going to fit on this roster if there's an Anthony Mantha signing? And okay, I understand that, but I'm a little less worried about it, even with how it looks on the surface, just because of how invested Craig Conroy's group has been in letting young players have the opportunity if they prove that they're ready. Look, Matt Coronato, in his first couple months in the league, or first month in the league, I think it was pretty clear he wasn't ready. He had a great training camp. He made the team on merit, but then it fell off a little bit, and the American League was absolutely where he needed to be. But when he came back up, I think he proved that he'd taken some significant strides and was much better. So what if Matt Coronato just takes another step this summer and is that much better situated to be on the team? I think they'll make room for him because they know how important Matt is for the future of this team. Whether Anthony Mantha is part of it or not, I don't think a contract isn't going to worry the Flames about if Mantha isn't as consistent as they need him to be. As he talked with us, he knows that consistency is maybe his biggest downfall or biggest hurdle.
Certainly his biggest question mark or what's dogged him throughout his career.
I think they put him on the fourth line if that's the best play. Like, if Matt Coronato is a better option than Anthony Mantha or any other I think it'll be reflected that way in the depth chart.
Well, look at what Ryan Huska did on numerous occasions this season with Andrew Mangiapane. That was a guy who found himself, maybe numerous is unfair, but on multiple occasions, Andrew Mangiapane is a guy who found himself skating on the fourth line. And so I don't doubt that would be the case with Anthony Mantha if A, he was underperforming, or B, they needed to create a spot for a kid. And so, you know, in that way, I actually think that Anthony Mantha and Andre Kuzmenko are probably competing more for a role than I consider Anthony Mantha to be a threat to Matt Coronato. Now, just as an aside, really fascinating conversation Matt Coronato had with the media at development camp today. Danielle Fujita's name, the Flames skating coach, came up multiple times, and I just thought it was really interesting to know that this is a guy who realizes his skating's going to have to get better for his offensive gifts to translate to the NHL. And so that work and the way that Matt Coronato it sounds like has and will continue to invest in it through the offseason, I think that's going to be the bigger Matt Coronado story. I don't see him stuck in the minors just because Anthony Mantha's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Same is true for a guy like Pelche.
Yeah. I mean, the Ryan Lomberg acquisition takes away one spot in the lineup where I think Jacob Pelche could have potentially fit. But Jacob Pelche and you know, I feel bad even kind of putting it this way because it's still a young player and a guy I have all the time in the world for. Jacob Pelche is at a bit of a career crossroads already. Like he needs to prove what he is as an NHLer. And I realize we're talking about a guy who's played, what, buddy, 32, 33 games in the NHL. Like that's not a lot of runway, but we're getting to the point where at least you need to know where Jacob Pelche at his best could slot. And the onus is really going to be on him this season to show that.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know at this point what Jacob is.
I don't think he does.
I don't think the Flames do.
No.
I think I know what I'd like him to be and what I think he could be. I think that he's got the potential to be a really nice, high-energy, middle six, two-way winger.
Yeah.
I think the perfect, ideal fit to replace Mangiapane on the Backlund line with Coleman.
Yeah.
Now, that line only has a little bit of runway left. I mean, Coleman's only got, what, 2 years left on his deal? 3 years. 3 years left on his deal.
Right.
Backlund has 2 years left on a deal. Like, we're talking about guys. We don't know exactly what the long-term future looks like.
Sure.
But ideally, I think Pelche on that line makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because I think that his attributes work very well. But he's got to prove it still. And to this point, he hasn't. And I give him tons of benefit of the doubt after the two shoulder injuries last year. I'm not by any means writing him off. I'm a big fan of his and think that there's still a lot of potential there. But we still got to see it.
And it's why I wonder a little bit whether we're going to have a sort of less traditional fourth line for this Flames team. Like, you know, if you just look, and I'm going off the top of my head here, but if you say, okay, well, we want Mantha with Huberdeau, so, you know, let's say Sharon Govich in the middle, and you've got those two guys, you know, whatever, you want to keep the cadre line together. Then you have Backlund, Coleman, and Pelche. Well, suddenly, like, Coronado's on the quote-unquote fourth line, but what does that kind of look like, right? Could we see a line that might feature Pospisil in the middle with Lomberg on one side that would drive opponents crazy? Like, could you have a sort of less traditional setup? Because there are a lot of names. I haven't even mentioned Kuzmenko, a guy who I've said many times I'm not really sure where he fits. But I think if you're listening to this and you're Ryan Huska, this is the sort of challenge you want, right? You want more chairs than you have room on the deck, because that's how you create competition.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how it all shapes up.
No. Like, but you...
Do you want Zeri down the middle?
I think I might be the only one in Calgary who really wants to see Pospisil down the middle.
I have no problem with
that. Yeah.
I just think Pospisil on the wing brings so much to that cadre line, but you're also in a position where you don't have to... You can very easily experiment with things right now with where the Flames are.
Oh, you're gonna see Sharon Govich, Pospisil, and Zeri all get a long look at center in training camp, because you're gonna need at least one of those guys, and potentially two if you want to turn Kevin Rooney into more of a in sometimes, out sometimes guy. You're gonna need one or two of those three that I mentioned step up and be centers, because we know that that's a market Craig Conroy's tried to get into and trade and free agency. It's just the prices out there, I think, are making the Flames blush.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it all plays out with Mantha. A few texts, 96960. This reads, Mantha's deal reminds me of Klingberg's last year with Anaheim. Even without a big year, they still got some return. This says, regarding clogged forward depth for the young guys, it's the NHL. Spots aren't given, they're taken. Competition fosters a winning environment. That's exactly what Wes was talking about. This says a little less room on the roster is okay. There's both room for a few and inherent competition for a roster spot. There will be injuries and likely a sell-off at the deadline that creates even more opportunity. The AHL is a great development league, and delaying RFA, UFA years helps the team in the long run, too. And finally, from Mick, who says Kuzmenko will lead the Flames in scoring, and whatever line he's on is the top line. Coronado and Pelche will battle for third-line duty with Backlund and Coleman. Zeri's at center, Sharkey's on the wing, and Pospisil might work with Backlund and Coleman.
Mick, don't put too much money on that, please.
I think there's going to be a lot of, when we tweet out the lines, there's going to be a lot of different permutations over the course of the season.
Yeah, I think there was an interesting question on there about the blue line. You want to touch on that really quick?
Where the one about Gio?
Yeah.
Do you think they should sign Gio for a year?
How do you feel about that?
I mean, from a story perspective and a guy perspective, yeah, all day. I'd have no problem with it. Hockey-wise, I don't know if it's super necessary. But from a human being story standpoint, I love Gio as a guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him back. I'd love to see him finish as a Flame. I think if he did that, it would cement the five going up in the rosters, rather in the rafters, I'll say that.
Yeah. You know, I worry, my concern would be when you finally establish a new leadership group, I think it's tough to bring the old alpha back
in
the room.
Yeah, the old captain, yeah.
That would be my concern. And I'm just not sure at 40 years old with what you're trying to do with your roster that it makes the most sense.
We are coming at you this hour from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Looking forward to this conversation, as we always do with our next guest. It's time to say hello to our goalie guru, Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. But especially looking forward to this week's, because goaltending's been a really interesting position for the Calgary Flames over the last number of weeks. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. Kevin joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Mr. Woodley, happy July. Welcome back from Honolulu. How are we doing?
We're good. We survived. We're relaxed. We're ready for sort of vacation mode, but never ready to stop talking about goaltending. So that's the upside.
Hang on. I thought goalies were always relaxed.
Some goalies. much like stopping the puck, any time anybody on my beer league team hears me introduced as a goalie whisperer or goalie expert or whatever other phrase, they wonder why they never get to see that. And I would say that the same would hold true with the idea of me being relaxed and chill. There is, I believe, snaptastic is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot when I'm actually tending twine as opposed to talking about those who do it for a living.
Kevin Snapshow Woodley, eh?
Yes. Snapshow is, it's been known to happen before, although I have mellowed in my old age. So I'm happy to report that, especially when I come back from a week in Honolulu, I'm like purely on island time right now. Life is good.
You're very zen. I like that.
It always seems like a good idea to break your stick over the post until you remember how much a new one costs, right?
Ooh, and I don't know if you guys ooh, neighbor's dogs don't want me in the backyard to talk to you. I don't know if you guys have been in a sports store recently, but seriously, like, I know we hear a lot about what player sticks cost. There is a $470 goal stick right now from True that's on the marketing, and that's what it costs in Canadian funds.
Oh, so don't
all
break
it takes,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely don't break it on purpose, and that's the amazing thing, like, as a goalie, like, you face, especially the guys that are facing like high-end, like high-level junior up to pro shots, all it takes is one off the right spot in the shaft and you've got $470 of carbon fiber slivers. Yeah, yeah. Tough. Parents, don't let your kids grow up to be goalies.
Yeah, I'd probably suggest not to if I had a chance, but you know what? It's still a fun position to talk about, and it's why, look, when the Flames signed Devin Cooley on Monday, this was their number one target in free agency all along. They'd been interested in him for quite some time. They get him on July 1st. I know he was a guy that you targeted as kind of that third organizational guy that the Flames could bring in. How come the Flames are so excited about Devin Cooley? Why should they be so excited about him?
Well, I mean, start with the size. Never a bad thing when you're as big as he is. And go right to untapped potential as the next part of it. Like, he has size, he has length. Like, he's not limited in his mobility through the hips, his range, his ability to extend. And he's also a late bloomer, right? Like, you know, I don't know how much you guys have been able to get into the story there, but, like, I believe it was at some level in junior that he was playing alongside Joey Decord, and Joey invited him to his dad's goalie school in the Boston area, stop at goaltending. Of course, Brian Decord, his father, longtime Boston Bruins goalie coach and then director of goaltending for the Arizona Coyotes, scouted goaltending for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have everything. They have an app. They have multiple training centers. Like, they are, like, sort of one of the elite goaltending schools in the United States, especially in that sort of Massachusetts area. And all that he was learning there was new. Like, in his late teens, he got to junior purely on raw talent. And then, you know, you fast forward to his time in San Jose this year after the trade. And I think he felt like there was a lot of stuff there that he hadn't learned before, like another layer of new sort of, you know, we talk a lot about sort of the biomechanics and this new concepts around tracking and elements there that he learned from Thomas Spear, the goaltending coach. And these are things that he was really, really excited to build on. And he's going to get that opportunity in Calgary because whether it's Jason LaBarbera in the NHL, Jordan Sigalette as the director, or Mackenzie Skapski in the American League, these are concepts they're familiar with. And then you add in Mackenzie Skapski in particular, like his experience from his time with the Rangers under Benoit Allaire, and the way sort of positioning and tactical things that he learned there that I know made a big difference in Dustin Wolf's game from year one to year two. And you apply that at Cooley's size, there's a lot to like here. You know, again, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to talk to Devin yet, but we just happened to have him on the In Goal Radio podcast ahead of this and sort of after his season, which was, as you know, was his first taste in the NHL. And it wasn't all pretty, right? There was some ugly in there. But the enthusiasm that he had, like, you just felt like, well, two things. One, like, you're definitely not going to want to give this kid any Red Bull before you do an interview. He's high energy already. Yeah. Like,
yep.
Yeah, no coffee needed. But there's like a genuine passion for, man, like, I'm just starting to unlock some of this potential. And when you see it in the video, because we've only run two of them so far, but we did a full hour like pro reads where we sit down and he goes over the film from his time in San Jose late in the season where we did review saves with him. And he thinks the game at a really high level. And yet you can see in there, like, an understanding, like, oh, like, I was a little too amped up for this game. This happened to be my first game. And you can see how, because I was amped up, you can see how my stance changed and how I sat down and lowered my butt. And that causes tension and exposes different parts of the net. And these are things that he can now see already in video that at the time he was just going out there and competing, but he's learned. And now he's like, if you watch later in the season, some of the saves and some of the execution into saves, it's more relaxed. The tension is gone. He understands how to hold his body to get himself in a better position to make those saves. Like, so I just think there's obviously a potential when you have a kid that size with that much athleticism and that much natural skill. And he's just starting to tap, you know, into that potential at its fullest level. So that's exciting. Like, that's exciting. There's the word project. I don't know if the Flames have used that. There's a bit of that element. He's not totally unrefined, but there's just so much more that he is only now starting to discover. I know other teams that were interested as well. I know one team that, you know, the only reason they chose somebody else over him was because they just felt they needed a little more refinement. Like they didn't, their needs meant the more likelihood of an earlier NHL call up and less time to sort of invest in some of the changes that he's going to need to continue to make. And for the Flames, I think they've got plenty of opportunity to give him a chance to learn that at either level.
Kevin, with the addition of Cooley, how do you sort of see the goaltending picture here in Calgary?
Yeah, that, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, I think part of it's going to be, how do things look coming off the hip surgery for Vladar? And, you know, is he 100%? And how does he feel about those things? Part of it's going to be, how does Dustin Wolf look? Like, and then how much time do you want to get? Like, if the changes we're talking about, like, Cooley's ready to play in the NHL, but if he understands and agrees he'll be better for some time getting comfortable with some new elements in the American League, then my hunch would be he's the one that starts there. If he pops early and shows really well in preseason to the point where you're worried about losing him on waivers, and I haven't checked whether he needs to clear or not, I'm guessing at that age he might. Do you maybe send Wolf down? I can't see that, but I think Cooley, because of the sort of that little bit of a project tag that's still there, because some of the numbers weren't as flattering. You know, he had a couple tough games in the NHL behind a team that looked like it was completely checked out.
Right.
And so the numbers took a beating. That probably means it's easier to get him to the American League, right? Like, and that's one of the things that you have to keep in mind, right? Like, all it takes is another team with a key injury, and all of a sudden you have to be cognizant of, man, could we lose this guy on the waiver wire? So that's sort of how my hunch is it would go. But to be honest, like, as much as maybe me talking about Devin as an option for Calgary a couple weeks ago and then seeing it come true might have been an educated guess, I haven't talked to anybody about, you know, exactly how this looks and what their plans are for this depth chart.
The interesting thing is that, you know, Devin Cooley, I believe, does need waivers. Dustin Wolf does not, and that gives them some interesting options there. Look, nobody wants to see Dustin Wolf in the American League again. Definitely not on a long-term basis. But Kevin, as you know, like, there's no guarantees here with Dustin. We all want him, and many want him to get 35, 40 starts in the NHL this year, but maybe he struggles a little bit. And there's always that option to put Dustin in the American League as well if he needs a little bit of a refresh or just needs a little time away from the NHL. Like, these things need to be factored in as well, don't they?
Development is rarely linear, right? Like, especially when it comes to the goaltending position. And so my hunch would be it's usually easier to get a guy down to the American League early.
Yes.
And so my hunch would be that you'd make that move early with Cooley, again, assuming Vladar is healthy and 100%. And then, but you're right. Like, especially having the American Hockey League team in the same city, like, that's important flexibility. And we've seen teams in the past, and I'm not saying this is the path they've got for Wolf, but it's an option. We've seen teams in the past, especially when they're in a more competitive window, and that plays a role in this as well. Like, hey, what if they get off to a great start? But Vladar's running with it, and Dustin's not playing. Because we know that Vladar's capable of that, for sure. We've seen it in the past. And that's where having, like, somebody who doesn't need to clear waivers and a farm team in the backyard, the ability to send a guy down for the weekend to play a couple of games, even if you've got a game with the big club, but you know he's not starting it. The Nashville Predators did that with UC Saros.
Yep.
They had him on the NHL roster for the most part all season, but they would send him down to Milwaukee if Pekka was on a roll and UC hadn't played in a while, and they wanted to get him games, and Pekka was scheduled to start in the NHL on a Saturday night, they'd send UC down in Milwaukee for the weekend, and he'd get two, sometimes even three games in. Come back, still feel like he's a part of the team, still be a part of the team, but get those important game reps in at the American Hockey League level, at a time when they weren't quite ready to start him as often at the National Hockey League level. You can sort of have your cake and eat it too. Again, not saying that's the plan, but it's an option. And as long as a guy doesn't need to clear, it's something you can use. I think in Vancouver, it might be something you see them do with Artur Shelov this year, because he's got another year where he doesn't need to clear waivers. And I know, I mentioned Saros, Korpisalo, when he was coming up with Columbus, they did the same thing with him. So we've seen other teams do it. And it's certainly, if nothing else, again, not saying it's option A, but it's an option should you need to use it.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. That's the Flame side of things. Maybe we can get into some specifics. We'll see. But when you take a look at the rest of going all the way back to the Ullmark trade to Ottawa and Korpisalo going the other way to Boston, some of the free agent signings we've seen in net since Monday, who's come out ahead? Maybe who's been more of the other side of things when it comes to the goaltending carousel this summer?
Well, Linus Ullmark in Ottawa feels like a good move. The one caveat there is, I think, much like we talked about with New Jersey and Jacob Markstrom, is Ottawa finally ready to take a step? And the answer to that is going to be whether their young players decide they give a crap about defending and they're willing to do the work to defend, or they're willing to start making unselfish plays on offense rather than making selfish plays that lead to odd man rushes, And the thing you get with Ullmark is he can do both, right? He showed in Boston, he's a Vezina Trophy winner in Boston behind a good defensive team. The defensive environment in Boston cratered a little bit this year, and his adjusted save percentage, this is probably surprising people, his adjusted save percentage this season was actually better, slightly, not huge, but better than Jeremy Swayman's in Boston this year. He had a good season. Maybe not the Vezina winning season, but he had a really good, top 15 in the NHL behind a worsening environment season. And he's done it in Buffalo. There's a reason Boston targeted him, because they could see the underlying numbers in Buffalo. The problem in Ottawa is if the environment looks defensively like it did in Buffalo, the situation will be the same. He can still play well and nobody's going to know it, because the raw numbers won't tell that story, right? It's like Thatcher Demko 2 years ago in Vancouver. Same Thatcher Demko you saw this year in Vancouver. Nobody could tell because the team didn't defend worth a lick, and now they do, and he's a Vezina finalist, finishes second, right? So I don't know what you get in Ottawa, how much buy-in Travis Green can get from the young players in terms of the changes that are needed there. But the good news is Ullmark can thrive in both situations. I just think there's only so much you can do. When I looked at the numbers the other day for a hit in Ottawa, they were 29th in the NHL in 5-on-5 high danger chances against. That's not good. And if that doesn't change, there's only so much that Linus Ullmark can do there.
Anything else that stood out to you? I know there's a lot of people interested in what Korpisalo might be in Boston. Feels like playing with the way Boston plays might be a good fit for Korpisalo to have a nice bounce back. What about, Talbot changed places, a few other signings. Anything else that really jumped off the page to you, good or bad?
Well, a couple things. I fully expect Boston to turn Jonas Korpisalo into a positive asset in short order, especially with, I believe, Ottawa's eating a percentage of that salary. Yep. And so if you add Boston's ability to do the same, imagine how small that ticket will be. I could see him being a guy much like he was when he went to the LA Kings, where teams want him. Because he's a better goaltender than he had an opportunity to show in Ottawa. And I expect him to look more like that guy in Boston. Around the league, I'm shocked that Kevin Lankinen doesn't have a deal. Now, maybe the ask is high because he was already making $2 million last year, and we saw a lot of guys, veteran guys, like James Reimer, taking a $1 million one-way deal, so he makes it in the minors or in the NHL, but taking a deal where he's almost guaranteed to be in the American Hockey League because he's behind Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi. Maybe Lankinen as a backup, people didn't see him, in the same light as a Stolarz or a Brassois. But his underlying numbers for the past two seasons in Nashville, I've got him, I would have him as my next sort of potential Charlie Lindgren, a guy who can be a really strong 1B and might be ready to pop in a bigger opportunity. And he still doesn't have a contract. And that surprises me a lot. The Talbot one left me scratching my head a little bit. He had a great year in LA, great bounce back year in LA, and showed that he's still an NHL goaltender. But when I look at the numbers, like the expected save percentage was the highest in the league by a wide margin.
Huh.
And so for Detroit to go in as deeply as they did multiple years, again, unless the environment improves, like he can play the same as he did in LA and he might be sub 900. That's just the reality of the two environments. I feel like Detroit isn't there in terms of having the structure. I understand there are things he brings from a veteran presence standpoint, but especially when you couple it with the amount of goalies they have, Alex Lyon was really good for them for stretches last year. They signed Jack Campbell, obviously, probably to start in the American League. Billy Huso has been on the market, but they haven't found any takers so far. What makes you think they're going to find one between now and the start of the season? Like Sebastian, like Kosa, where's he playing? If you've got one through four with NHL guys, I mean, he took a big step last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where have you got him penciling? So a lot of decisions in Detroit that I'll admit, like I'd love to talk to somebody there, and I plan to sort of, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing here about the plan, but from the outside, it's sort of hard to see the logic of it. So, you know, not to be too critical, but that's one that left me scratching my head a little bit. And yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other moves, so many around the league, you know, the goalie carousel spins and it's hard to keep up with it. That's probably most of them. Eh? Nope, did I miss any?
No, I think that's a pretty good, rundown of kind of where we saw things. Talbot was maybe the biggest UFA name out there. And as you mentioned, he lands in a different spot. It's going to be interesting to see what he's all about. So no, I think that was a pretty good rundown, my friend. I think that was a pretty comprehensive chat as always.
That's good. All right. See, I didn't lose a step in Honolulu, well, in the sunshine.
Get
I didn't get too soft.
Nope.
Still has his passport.
I mean, you're still West Coast soft, but you're not Hawaii soft.
Woo. Jeez.
Look, my brother and sister-in-law have been out there for 4 years now. They went from Calgary winners to Vancouver winners. Yeah. They got West Coast soft as well.
Kevin, don't take that the wrong way. Everyone in this town's a little tougher during Stampede.
It's also true. I'm chewing on a piece of grass right now.
I fully embraced West Coast soft, but I'm going to send you guys a picture of me jumping in the water with a half a dozen 6 to 10 foot sharks in Honolulu, and you can tell me whether I'm still West Coast soft.
Hey, Kevin.
That's fair.
Ride a bull and then get back to us, buddy.
Hey, guys, I don't even make it on the mechanical bull.
I'd ride them for sure, but I'm allergic, so I got to sit it out.
Good stuff. Well, hey, listen, we embrace our West Coast soft because I just stepped back outside. The neighbor's dogs are not out here to yap at me anymore, and it's gorgeous out here, so we'll take it.
Good stuff as always. Thanks as always, Kev. We'll talk soon, hey?
Yeah, sounds good, guys.
Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com. He's our goalie guru on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. I told you the goalie people are high on Devin Cooley. I wasn't messing around on that.
What one of my favorite segments every week. His insights are just awesome.
They're the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wes Gilbertson on Twitter. Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Sham. Thanks to Cam, our producers this hour. Thanks to Salome, who's keeping us on the straight and narrow as well. And that will wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. This hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property is secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.